Welcome to the NFT Update Podcast with your hosts, KJ and Zach, co-founders of the Side Ducks NFT Project. We're here to chat with other awesome NFT projects and experts that share a passion for the space. We're sharing insights for NFT collectors, creators, and artists, no matter if you're on Ethereum, Solana, or Cardano. Whether you're new to the space or you're a veteran minter, this podcast is for you. Tune in regularly so you don't miss out on the latest and greatest trends and topics in the NFT space. You're listening to the NFT Update.
Awesome. So thanks everyone for joining the Psyduck Twitter space. Also will be recorded and edited to be presented on our NFT Update podcast. So today we're hosting Ya with their automated escrow trading platform, allowing peer-to-peer trading of Solana NFTs and Solana as well. They have partnerships and DAOs that they're working with. They have their own NFTs. They have their own research that they've done on the Solana space in general. So really excited about this conversation. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Snappa. Let's start with you.
Yeah, so my background is just in digital marketing. Well, my background's all over the place. I kind of change careers every 2 years. But for the last few years, I've been doing digital marketing and then kind of just like really started making sense of the crypto space. Everything kind of just started clicking with me. So I got very heavily invested in that. And then, I don't know, you just kind of, just the classic story down the rabbit trail that everybody's experienced, but eventually found myself in the Solana ecosystem doing NFTs and discovered Ya and really loved what they were doing. And it was exactly what the space needed and a lifesaver for myself with some of the trades I was trying to pull off. And so as soon as I saw that Robo Legato post that they were trying to bring on someone to help them with marketing, I was right there and reached out. And then we've just become besties ever since. Ain't that right, Robo?
It's absolutely true. And do you know how long it took for you to join the team? Do you remember?
It was like 24 hours or something.
That's 24 hours. Web3 style. Yes, that's correct.
Love it. Yeah, we had one interview. Robo told me after our interview, he told me, all right, now we got to get you passed by the team. And so we scheduled a second interview with the team, but I did not realize it was my welcome to the team call. So I'm sitting there like waiting for interview questions. And then afterwards I was like, that wasn't an interview. And Robo was like, oh, I forgot to tell you, we already hired you.
That's awesome. And then so Robo, is this Ya platform something that you've created or what's your role there?
Wow, that's a great question. What's my role? I guess I'm the one to be blamed behind this, yes. But obviously we have a team of developers and I'm the least educated person actually in the group, which I'm proud to say, to be honest. So we have like 3 PhDs and some serious heavy hitters. But yeah, one of the co-founders of the platform and the crew is now, I think we're running 8 people deep. And we started the old platform, we created the Quantum Traders NFT, and also the OG Solstein NFT.
Awesome. So yeah, I definitely want to dive into all of those. But as I alluded to earlier, I love the white paper that you wrote, a lot of valuable insights. So let's just start with your take of the Solana NFT space. So just referencing the white paper, some of the things that were mentioned were NFT valuations. So your thoughts on the fact that it hasn't yet reached mainstream adoption. I'm going to share the graphic in just a second here. But I would like to hear your thoughts on that and how we're super early in the market. And then also you referenced the fact that NFTs, some of the utility and some of the value and evaluations of them are related to them being referred to as Veblen goods or exclusive kind of goods. So can you kind of speak on all of your thoughts there, please?
Snappa, do you want to take that? And I'll back you up.
Sure. So at least for me personally, what kind of drew me into NFTs, because as an out, you know, for a moment there, being on the outside looking in, thinking it was such a stupid thing, like I was all about the right click save narrative, and I'm seeing, you know, pieces of art selling for, you know, several million dollars, these little tiny pixelated crypto punks, and I'm just like, this is ridiculous, this is not art, and people are paying millions and millions of dollars for this. And then we've also got that Beeple piece of art that sold for like $69 million. And so like, I'm just thinking, this is a bubble. Everything's overvalued. This is insane. But then when I looked at the numbers to see, you know, how many people were actually invested in these, I was shocked to see that it was, at the time, it was about 500,000 people on Ethereum and about 50,000 people on Solana or something like that. And I just realized, wow, I mean, like, you know, the Solana monkeys, I think the top sale was like two point something million. And I was like, if there's less than 50,000 people in the space, you know, that's hardly a bubble. You know, this is really just like extremely early innovation. Cause what happens to the prices of these things when you've got, you know, a million people in Solana NFTs and everybody's now looking at these monkeys as like the most expensive, the most exclusive, the OGs and everything. And to me, that was kind of the game changer when I realized how early on we were and how small the space really is compared to really the potential, you know, the total addressable market for NFTs is really the whole world, you know, because there is a use case that's going to be fit into everything. You know, profile pictures and, you know, fun avatars for social media are like one major use case for these NFTs, but then there's so many more beyond that. So yeah, for me personally, when I discovered that and then, you know, just doing some market research, including just our last tweet from the Odd account, just kind of doing a retally and realizing there's still less than 100,000 people in the Solana NFT space, closer to 75,000 to 85,000 by very loose estimates that are being more cautious than optimistic. Optimistically, we're still at like 50,000 people in the space, which is still just incredibly, incredibly tiny compared to just the trends that we're seeing. You know, it's making headlines everywhere, so everybody knows about it. When I'm talking with friends about what I'm doing, explaining Bitcoin, it takes a lot of work to explain to someone how Bitcoin works. For some reason, explaining NFTs, everybody's already heard about it. You know, even though the space is so tiny, it's made so many headlines, everybody gets it. They're just like, oh yeah, digital art. I don't own any, but I know exactly what they are and I know that they're trending. So everybody's aware of the trend, but very few people are actually diving in and investing and engaging with everything that at least everybody on this space has experienced and loves.
Definitely.
I think what is equally exciting to us and the team is, you know, what is right now ahead of us, which is we're still dealing with majority of the projects being about the art, and, you know, that's fine and cool. But we're also seeing sort of the next step or phase in front of us, which is, you know, access and, you know, being able to access certain things or being able to deal with, you know, even gaming assets, right? Like you're able to deal assets from one game to another just by using a tool like your, right? And then if we, you know, really zoom out and look far into the future, then I completely agree with Snappa that at one point, everybody's dealing with NFTs in one shape or form. And what I mean by that is, you know, just take contracts, right? Like physical old contracts, these are all going to be, you know, not going to use and going to be replaced by something like NFTs on the blockchain, right? Like we're talking about, you know, your mortgages or even your, you know, your car leases and stuff like that. So that's like really out there, right? But yeah, that's what sort of gets us excited about this, that NFTs as the art and the communities right now is just the first step. Like this is going to be big and exciting and, you know, makes us excited as well.
Yeah, definitely. And the one other thing, you know, that you also mentioned in your white paper that I totally agree with to all of our newbies is the sociality value add of NFTs. As you know, so you reference in your white paper going to a pub. The pub has so much social value that it adds to people because they're able to meet and discuss. And Snappa, you also mentioned, you know, the Solana monkey business as being arguably the top project. And I recently acquired one of their NFTs as well for just that very reason that, you know, there's a lot of influencers in that community and you need an NFT to access that. So just want to also quickly highlight that. But yeah, let's dive into the Yah platform. So first look, I know even for myself, I see a lot of words that might scare me and might not, you know, relate to NFTs. Definitely heard some of those terms during my trading career, but things like escrow, you mentioned, and the trading platform and the gaming. But I think your white paper again really breaks it down clearly, as you kind of identified that currently in the market, you know, we have all of these different marketplaces like, you know, Magic Eden, SoulSea, etc., but essentially they're like the eBay of the market, where it allows buying, it allows selling, of course, but there's no like trading, there's no like deal making. And I think that's why I was so excited to chat with you guys, as you identify yourself as being the first escrow automated platform. So let's dive in. So I know I mentioned a lot, but I'd love to hear from your own words how you would describe your platform.
I mean, that's pretty much it, right? Like the problem or the issue that we saw in the industry was, and you know, at that time we were able to also gather public intel like how much people were scammed when they did over-the-counter trading. And the amount was, I believe, $500,000 that Snappa and the guys were able to find. That's sort of the core reason or the gap that we saw why we even built Yo in the first place. And so what we enable users to do is just remove the stress and the anxiety from trading with one another, because I completely agree with what you said. Like, there's a lot more nuance with NFTs, right? Like, especially when we're dealing with utility-based NFTs where you have, you know, you need to gather different sets of items, or you want to just trade different set of items. You're not looking to necessarily liquidate or anything like that. And I think there will be a lot more of these projects coming, especially in gaming. And so then you just need a service where people can just safely trade with each other without having any stress and anxiety, which right now, or previously to Yo, that was the status quo, right? Like, you find someone in a Discord and, you know, you hope that the other party delivers what you agreed to sometimes, or, you know, oftentimes that didn't actually happen. And then people ended up losing valuable assets. So that's where Yo came to life. And that's basically what we're doing. And right now we've been sort of approaching it from solve the technical angle first, and now expand to how can we make the trading easier? How can we make the trading more, you know, dynamic? How can we facilitate more and more sort of these nuances and complex cases where people can actually, you know, talk to each other and, you know, work on a deal, versus, you know, right now the bottleneck still after solving the technical angle is how do you find a deal? So there's a lot of exciting things coming from our end, and, you know, the devs are heads down building and building and building.
No, that's fantastic. And let's go through an actual use case. I think that might help people solidify their understanding. So, like, let's say you and I were using Yo to trade. Let's say, you know, I have a SMB for sale. I mean, obviously, you know, that might be pricey. So, for example, in this case, I could put that in Yo, and then you would put up maybe a handful of NFTs that are cheaper. You might put up, you know, a combination of Solana. And then once it kind of gets to an agreement, you know, we execute it on both ends, and then the trade happens on the Solana blockchain itself. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, yes. So you still sort of have to work on the deal outside of the platform currently. But once we have agreed to the terms, you have an SMB, okay, I'll throw in a Degenape, a Dogbird, and a little bit of Sol on top. And we just, you know, simply set up that deal via Yo, and you don't have to worry about, am I actually going to send it or not? That's how it's set up. It's built on the blockchain, works with a smart contract, and there's no room for error in that sense.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge gap that, you know, most people don't talk about. Obviously, all of these marketplaces currently, they've allowed bidding and things like that, but it's not as, like, you know, as dynamic as what you are providing here, and I love that. And then so let's talk a little bit about your business model there. So I assume that with facilitating these trades, you get, you know, some sort of fee that you collect. So, like, what if people are just trading just NFTs straight up? How do you earn in this kind of scenario? Like, let's say it was just a SMB for a Degen Ape and a Thugbird, like you said, and that's it, no Sol involved. How do you guys kind of keep your platform running from deals like that?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So basically, trading is rather affordable right now. So there's a fixed 0.02 Sol fee on both sides. And if the trading does involve Sol, then there's a 3% fee on that, but it's still more affordable for people to go through a marketplace. But yeah,
it's about $3 in US terms if you're not trading with Sol. And then, like Robo said, if there is Sol included, a 3% fee on top of the Sol.
And so basically what the trading and the escrow feature and functionality right now is not the place where we sort of, for us, it's a strategic value. For us, it's what we're known for. And basically, we are building on top of this other features where we eventually end up making longer term revenue. But right now, we see a lot more important to the company and to the brand. I think we can say that we have established a household name for peer-to-peer trading, but to remain that and, you know, push it forward and then basically build other functionalities on top that we have also mentioned in the white paper that will end up bringing majority of the revenue in. So, and that's why also why we did the Quantum Traders, the NFT collection, so that we can, you know, extend our runway, build, capture the market first and foremost.
Yeah, definitely. Great that you brought up quantum traders, because that's what I wanted to talk about next. So as I understand it, by owning, and I believe by staking your quantum traders, and is it also involved the Solsteins as well? Do they also get a share? But I understand that they'll get some of your YAW tokens, which is a percentage of all the transaction fees that you collect.
Absolutely. So Solsteins, the OG collection, before even YAW was built, they actually have a higher yield of the YAW token compared to the quantum traders on average. But yes, that's sort of the point in where the community will be able to participate in the future success of the platform. In our upcoming IDO, they will be able to stake their NFTs and then essentially participate in the future of the platform itself by staking their NFTs and then earning yield back as the YAW token.
Got it. And you mentioned the IDO's upcoming. When is that?
So we haven't set a firm date yet. Right now, we have been sort of in the step of a lot of legalities and getting everything in order. But we are aiming end of Q1. That's what we sort of have in the white paper. And so we're looking at March right now.
Got it. So, and the reason I ask this is because I know, you know, you obviously since Mint, I know there's been quite a large uptick in your valuation, just looking at your floor price. Just for our listeners right now, like if they were to acquire, you know, either of these two NFTs, what can they expect? Because I do see reference, you know, it's a 2-year kind of period to earn these tokens. Is that right? So like, you know, if, let's say your IDO is in March and they've already acquired it, and let's say they stake it, then they would, you know, get this yield over a 2-year period, or how does that work exactly?
Yes, that's exactly it. And don't quote me on the exact numbers as it relates to the average yield, but it's very well broken out in our white paper. So if you go to our white paper, there's the staking section and you can then see the actual yield graph. So we have yield per rarity. So the more rare your NFT, the more yield you receive. And it's also interwoven with these two collections. So Solsteins and Quantum Traders, they are nicely shown on that graph there. And so after the IDO, you will be able to stake your NFT. And then basically there's a 24-month of staking yield where a majority of the YAW tokens will be released via staking.
Got it. And then also, I think the super exciting aspect for the Solsteins is, as I understand it, by holding two of them, you're likely to receive a free quantum trader. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, that opportunity has passed, but it was correct. Yes. But that event already happened. Yes.
Got it. Okay. Missed out, but I still think still a lot of utility still to get. So awesome. And then let's dive into the social gaming a little bit. So I know that you're still very early here. I know that there is a kind of a demo video that you had demonstrating like a rock, paper, scissors game. Why don't you go ahead and just tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yeah, around that, it was inspired by, I don't know how many people here have played, you know, RuneScape, but the concept there was you were able to duel with each other, right? And you can stake gear or whatever items with each other. So instead of a peaceful trade, you are able to actually play a simple game with each other and then winner takes all. And so the Rock, Paper, Scissors is actually a game that you can already play right now, but not against each other yet. But yes, that's sort of the social element of it, that you're able to stake items with each other instead of a peaceful trade.
Got it. Like a winner takes all. So we're essentially betting, and the winner of the battle gets whatever Solana or NFTs that are up for grabs, right?
Exactly. That's it.
Yep. Awesome. So I saw in the video, you know, you can currently, I believe it's available, you can battle a bot, but I assume it'll be people can battle with each other. That's on the roadmap. Is that coming like this year, or what are your thoughts?
So there actually is a bit of a change in focus right now that we see the community has been asking our single thing right now as it relates to trading. Because, you know, when we're talking about, you can easily trade and everything works, and knock on wood, the beta has been very successful so far as well. But the bottleneck is finding a trade. So we're actually working on something that we think will help with that a lot, and very excited about that. So we're focusing that first. Yes, after that, the PvP is still very much on the roadmap.
Got it. And I know you mentioned the same thing in terms of, you know, you currently don't provide the platform to be able to help facilitate these trades. And I think that that will definitely be a huge value add. But I've traded Cardano NFTs in the past. And, you know, there are platforms definitely not as dynamic as what you're providing, but essentially the escrow aspect. So most of those deals, though, I've seen happen in just Discords itself. So I would imagine that that still is bringing a lot of volume in itself to your service. Is that not right?
Yeah. And then, you know, you could also argue that that is still sort of the biggest hurdle as it relates to trading, right? Because, you know, finding someone, well, first of all, you know, you have people scattered around, or you could even say siloed in all of these different Discords, right? So then for us, it would make tons of sense that you have a single place where you can go to either look for a trade or, you know, work on a trade, right? And so I think that hints pretty much where we're going with this right now.
Yeah, definitely.
And just to add to that, so yeah. we did a poll just to kind of like do a quick market check. And, you know, that's, it's always a valuable thing of, you know, having, you know, a Twitter account that, you know, has over 10,000 followers. You can do polls and get market research, but then obviously you're also, you're going to have a bit of a biased audience. But we did one poll asking our followers, where's the best place to find a trade? Is it in your own DAO's Discord? So if you're like in the SMB and you go to their trading channel and, you know, you're trying to find a deal, or is it going to be the odd Discord, or is it going to be on some kind of forum, like on Twitter, on Reddit, something like that, or is it somewhere else? And then, you know, asking people to comment if it's somewhere else. And it was a pretty big majority. I think it was over 50% of the votes said the Yod Discord, because that is kind of a central place where, you know, maybe you're in the Monkey DAO Discord, but you're not looking to trade a monkey, right? Or maybe you're trying to trade something else. And so the Yod Discord is kind of a nice, you know, central place where people of all types of different, you know, coming from all different types of projects and DAOs, they're just looking to make a trade. And they can kind of just come to us, the trading platform Discord, and try to find some deals. And recently we split out 4 different tiered trading channels for people looking for trades that kind of break it up based on the, you know, the total trade size. So you're not, you know, if you're just trying to trade something that just minted yesterday, that's still pretty low floor compared to someone who's trying to make a trade worth over 100 SOL. You know, we separate the channels out that way, but that's still a lot of, you know, unnatural friction, right? Like having to go to Discord and trying to like send messages, and messages get lost in threads. Like the reason why exchanges work so well, like Magic Eden, Solana, is because you can have 1,000 different items listed for sale and anybody can just go up and grab any of them, right? It's much cleaner to see all of the products that are available on one view, on one screen, and then kind of do some window shopping. And if you see something you like, you know, buy it. So what we're kind of trying to do is combine that level of ease of trying to find a deal when people can list things in a way like that, but also create that ability to have negotiations and not only having to sell something for SOL, but also being able to trade it for another NFT. So people can, you know, find your product, message you, start a conversation, negotiate. You can list some of the other items that you're asking for. So that's all, you know, that's all part of our vision that we see as extremely valuable to the space, especially. Let's say I'm in a project that I'm extremely bullish on. Let's say I own 20 of XYZ project, but something else came out and I really want to get access to that. Or maybe I want to diversify and I'm realizing I need to sell half my stack and sell 10 of these to get out and move on. If I'm trying to sell all 10 at the floor, you know, that could potentially cause panic if everybody sees, holy crap, somebody's dumping, and then they all start selling. It can, you know, that's one of the problems with listing on exchanges is that it's a supply side issue. And I know that a lot of exchanges are creating a way to create bids and add some demand side. But right now it's mostly supply side, which is kind of just an inherent danger to just market dynamics in terms of people being able to list faster than they can list for sale, faster than people can come in and buy. And so that is one of the nice things about being able to trade NFTs for NFTs, so that instead of me just listing all my 10 for sale that I'm trying to get liquidity on, I can take that 10 to the Discord or list them, saying I'm accepting trades on these. But you know, there might be someone who's totally happy to trade me one SMB for 10 of my XYZ, because you know, those types of deals we see happening all the time, where someone's giving something that's not as valuable in bulk for something, for a single item that's much more valuable. But that does kind of protect the prices of the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, no, that's something that, you know, me as a, you know, founder of a NFT community is very interested. So I'm definitely glad you brought that up because, yeah, like that would totally impact the floor price. And as an investor in an NFT project, you know, that's obviously a key metric that people look at when they try to check in on how their investment is doing. So, you know, this is, it's super important to introduce this to the NFT space. It's not necessarily super novel. It's definitely something that's needed. I mean, this is essentially what you've described as the same as hedge funds that own tons of shares of Microsoft or Apple. And, you know, they would totally destroy the price of the shares. Obviously, as a result, they also wouldn't be able to earn as much on their investment. So, yeah, I'm very interested on that aspect and as to how you market it. And I also want to say that that's super smart that you've created these different tiers in your Discord. And I understand the pain points there, but I definitely think that that's a huge, huge step in the right direction. So
I think also regarding the floor prices of when everyone tries to sell, right? Snapper mentioning about how investors will look at the floor price and then that metric is a vanity metric and doesn't matter at all. So at the same time, we must treat our NFTs as like entry passes towards communities, right? The moment, let's say if I'm not into cars, but let's say if I have to go to a Ferrari club, if I happen to, and the only way for me to liquidify or sell my pass, it would be also degrading the value of the community. You know, the fact that people are saying, oh, it's being sold somewhere. But once there's an opportunity to trade, you know, over the counter of P2P, it becomes like, it doesn't show the sentiment that someone doesn't want to be in the community, if you get what I'm saying. Basically, we are trading my treasure for your trash in that sense because you're not interested in the community anymore, but I may be interested. So it's not always about the floor price kind of, but we can kind of like swap keys to different houses since communities are like the houses. Yeah. So yeah, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And you mentioning that, I guess another question came to mind. So, you know, obviously in the metadata, creators of an NFT, they're getting a royalty. Is that something that you're also going to integrate in some of these trades that, you know, the creators are not left out? Or what are your thoughts there?
So right now, whatever we get, so when any Solana is involved in the trade, we grab 3% of it, like what Robo mentioned earlier, and then we share 50% of that with the creators themselves. So like if we get 3 SOL worth of a 100 SOL trade, and then we will split 1.5 SOL each for the creators and us. So it's already in place.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's totally fair for you guys to take half. I would totally recommend and support that for my community. So I love that. So awesome. Well, anything else that your team would like to add?
I will add something just on a bullish note for the whole ecosystem. One of my recent observations has been Web3 and NFTs are actually solving a lot more problems in society, or they're beginning to, that we don't even realize. And even just with the, with Twitter coming out with now, you know, they're verifying NFTs, which is a very bullish thing. And I see nobody here has a hexagon shape. You guys got to get the hexagon shape for your avatar pictures. But, you know, Twitter's doing it. Was already rolling it out. Yesterday, it was leaked some information that Meta is trying to do that for Facebook and Instagram. Reddit is trying to do that. Who knows how long before LinkedIn starts doing that. And it's definitely just a small start. And one of the things that makes me particularly bullish on, you know, the Yaw platform and the Quantum Traders is that it's kind of a bet on the whole space growing, right? Because it's a trading platform and a social hub and a gaming hub for everything related to Solana NFTs. And so, you know, we firmly believe just in the future growth of NFTs, but especially in the Solana ecosystem. We're just there to capture a small part of that success with trying to create a product that pleases everybody in the space.
Awesome. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Great questions. You know, we'll try to see if we can get the Yaw team on again, because I do see a lot of other requests that came in. But guys, thanks for tuning in. Like mentioned, we'll be posting this on our podcast, the NFT Update, early next week, ideally. And thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day or evening.
Thanks for listening to the NFT Update Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at NFT Update Pod. If you're interested in the PsyDucks NFT collection, please visit our website at PsyDucks.com. Please consider recommending us to your family and friends. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the latest episodes. We post regularly on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.